opinions, subjects, and entire content of the following Health Talk radio program are presented for general information and entertainment of our listening audience. Do not use this radio program to prescribe or diagnose. The information contained herein may or may not be applicable to any individual case. All listeners to Health Talk are advised to consult a medical professional for specific advice about any individual case and not to rely solely on material presented on this or any other medical program. It's time for Health Talk.
Oh, I'm telling you, give that guy a raise.
Welcome once again. We bid you welcome to another edition of Health Talk on the WISL stations, where we talk about health, yours and the world's, and where we're going. Before we get to our first guest, let's do a quick sign-in here. Everybody that we got in the studio, we have Andrea May from Andrea's Foot Care.
Yes, happy, happy month of May, everybody.
Yes, it's that wacky month of May. What was the lyric from Camelot?
Lusty month of May.
The lusty month of May.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, all right. I'm glad I asked. and we also have Paul from the Center for Cosmetic Dentistry.
Hi, Bob. Good to be here.
Good to have you here. Everybody. And the lovely Mrs. Savage.
Hello.
Sign in, please.
Hello. Happy Cinco de Mayo Plus.
That's right. Yeah. And then some. And you have gotten out of your sling.
I've got the week of weaning, and then I'm good.
That's very how you feeling.
I'm good.
Okay. You're ready to rock here?
Yeah, I'm ready to drive.
All right. So giving you a little look down the road at what's coming up here on this edition of Health Talk, our monthly visit with URMC Noyes Hospital in Dansville and Geneseo. We'll be talking about their medical alert program. Then the next guest pushes the envelope in her array of interests and accomplishments. Sherry Guess describes herself as a deep breath, podcaster, journalist, publicist, musician, award-winning realtor, wife, mom, and child of God. We're going to focus tonight on her health battles and her victories. And then using dance to heal and reverse the devastating impact of COVID on children. That's a subject we're going to chat with a woman, Teacher Terrell, the founder of Once Upon a Dance Studio and author of a series of interactive dance education books. But first, we turn to Kayla Howe from URMC Noyes Hospital. And we're going to talk about the Medical Alert Program. Hey, Kayla.
Hello.
Glad to have you here on the program. You know, I used to be on the board of directors at the United Way here in Livingston County, and I remember a program we used to have at Noyes. It was called the Lifeline Ears Program. You familiar with that at all?
Yes, that's actually what we used to be, but the program we had originally was sold, so we had to change gears.
Ah, okay. Yeah, and a very fine lady by the name of Patty Piper ran that.
Yes, she did. I've met her.
She's a sweetie, and she would come before us every year, and United Way would buy a certain number of these little boxes that hooked up to your phone line, and that would alert medical personnel if you had a senior or a disabled person that had some kind of an emergency. But we've made a lot of technological leaps, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
All right, why don't you tell us all about it? Tell us about the Medical Alert Program. I'll let you take it from here.
So we have been providing personal emergency response systems within a 50-mile radius of the UR Medicine Noyes Hospital in Dansville since 1982. We've been working to keep our local communities and individuals safe in their homes, and we provide equipment in partnership with Medical Guardian, which is actually the number one rated medical alert provider in the nation.
Okay, and looking at your materials, what that suggests to me is you no longer are phone line dependent.
No, so we have options that work off of cell towers in your area, regardless of whether or not you own a cell phone, and it's available to anyone who would like it. So we have actually served individuals from teenagers with diabetes to those over 100 years of age.
So this is not just elderly shut-ins now. This is vastly. How many people do you have on board with this program?
Right now, it's a little over 500 people.
That's a little over twice what we had back in my days with United Way. I'm glad to see that the program has expanded. Now, is there such a thing as using these devices temporarily, Kayla?
Yes, so we do not have a contract. We are month to month. So if you are released from the hospital for some reason and just need some rehabilitation, you can use the device for as many weeks or months as you see fit for yourself.
We have Paul from the Center for Cosmetic Dentistry. Paul.
Hi, Kayla. Does this monitor like certain vital signs, or is it something that you would need to activate if you needed help?
So you would need to activate it either by pushing the button and holding it for 3 seconds, and then they will respond however you have set up. So it can either be the local emergency, or it can be a list of responders you have given, or we do have the automatic fall detector buttons that you wear on the outside of your shirt, and if you fall down from standing, it will go off automatically for you.
Now, my dad actually had one of these. I insisted that he install it. He was not real pleased about it, and of course, I could never get him to wear the locket. You used to have that little locket you wore around your neck. Does your system still use that?
So we do still have one that goes around the neck. We also now have them for the wrist or the belt clip.
Oh, okay. And again, it's completely wireless. So the installation consists of what? Plugging the thing in?
Yep. We plug it in. We tell you how it works. We go over all the paperwork with you. And then from here until as long as that you would like to have it, you have somebody local to you to call and have come to your home if your device isn't working or you think it might be broken or you just need a replacement because maybe the band is uncomfortable.
Okay. Hey, that's great. Mrs. Savage.
So I was just wondering, so if there's illness, there's injury, there's age, or there's someone's newly alone, when would you suggest that they would use your service?
Anyone that feels that they could use it, I suggest should get it. It's worth the try. And you don't have to keep it. If you don't like it, just give us a call, and we actually can come out and pick it up for you.
Oh, so if you have a question, like if you think maybe I should go for it.
Did you hear that, Kayla?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. She asked, say it again, Jay.
No, I was just wondering. So if you have a question, if you think, that could be a good idea for me, no matter who you are, definitely do it.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, Andrea May from Andrea's Foot Care.
This does seem like a really good idea, even for young people in their 30s or 40s who live alone, when you think about how quickly an accident can happen. So it would be good for anyone to consider having one. My question is, how do you overcome the hesitancy to have this, mostly, I think, among the elderly, kind of getting over the whole stigma of, I've fallen and I can't get up? How do you overcome that?
We usually tell them about how it puts peace of mind to their kids. You know, they're constantly coming over, checking on them, calling them. They want to know that they are safe. And with the device that anyone can have, even someone as young as 26 years old, which is how young I am, anyone can have it. It's not so much that if you fall, you need it. Maybe you have syncope, or if you just have dizzy spells or vertigo, it makes your kids feel better leaving you at home and not asking you to come maybe move in with them. And then you can keep your independence whether or not you actually use it.
It's our monthly visit with Noyes Hospital, and Kayla Howe is facilitator of the Medical Alert Program. Jay?
Oh, Paul had a question. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
So I think this makes a lot of sense. And like today's technology, like my Apple Watch, you will sometimes tell me it's detected a fall, and it's detected something. So, I think, it's being connected to the outside world is, in today's day and age, I think is something that's very practical and that, I think having something like that, as not just for seniors, but, people that, do live alone or.
And we do have a smartwatch type of option.
Oh, wow.
That's a little bit easier for the older population to use so that I know that sometimes an Apple Watch, the font is small. There's a lot of buttons you have to push to get someplace. On our smartwatch option, there aren't as many buttons. It's a little bit more user-friendly for them, and we show them how it works.
Yeah, my dad would only use a smartwatch if it had a rotary dial. Jay, had something you want to ask?
So it alerts you guys, but would it be possible that it also alerts, like you said, the children and whatnot at the same time? So they could be on?
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Have them called first, or they can be called after emergency dispatch is sent.
So this literally could serve somebody from age 8 to 98. I mean, I can envision all kinds of applications for kids or teens.
Yeah. We have GPS on these as well. So if a kid happens to wander off, you can see where they are.
Wow. That's a fantastic thing. All right. So the medical alert program, tell us how it works. You have to subscribe to this thing, and there's a fee, I assume.
Yes. So you give us a call. We get your pretty much your basic information. Then we set up an appointment. We come out. We do everything for you so that really you don't have to do much. You just have to listen. And then it's month to month from that point. You don't have to, keep it for – we don't make you keep it, but we encourage for you to have it. And there's not really too much to qualify for. May, this month, we actually have free installation. So the upfront fee is actually waived all month. So if you or anyone you know needs it, we don't even charge to come out and put it in.
You hear that, folks? Free here during May while you're listening to this program. You just call up. We'll have the contact information in just a minute. So what does this device consist of? What's it look like?
I couldn't even tell you off the top of my head how many we have, but I'll give you our most popular ones. Our mobile device, it's called our Mini. It is a rectangular shape. It's light. It's slender. And this you can take with you in any state in America that has cell phone service. You may use it.
Does this thing, does it look like a cell phone?
No, this is actually, I would say, maybe a fourth the size of a regular size cell phone.
Wow, that's little.
Yeah. And then we have some that are circular that are even smaller than that. Those are buttons that would work in your home and around your home only, and they're probably, they weigh as much as a cookie, a light cookie.
Oh, okay. I can identify with that. Andrew May.
Some of my clients have Alexa in their homes, so their children have set that up for them, which may be a little bit of competition for you. So how would your medical alert program actually be better than someone, let's say they fall in their home and shout out, Alexa, call my daughter? How is your program better?
I will say that I actually have one set up, so I won't even say the name, but if you're in a different room or on the second floor, it won't be able to hear you calling to it. Or if you're outside on a walk, maybe you're outside walking your dog, the button is always right there with you. It'll never be set somewhere, and then you leave it, and then you can't get to it, or you have to crawl to it. It's right there on your neck.
So do you have any, like, magic phrases that you have to say? Like, ordinarily you'd say, Alexa, play WYSL. What do you say to this thing?
Well, you can just prompt it by saying her name, and she'll just answer. But we do actually have wall buttons that we offer, too, that if you say, help me, it will call out for you as well. Just like her, it's just, it'll have a name.
Okay, so it knows who you are, and then you can address this thing. So how much do you save since during May there's no installation charge? What's the normal cost?
So fees vary depending on the service option chosen. We're happy to say that our fees have not increased in the last 16 years.
Wow.
We do work with local grant funders to make it more affordable with financial assistance to those who are eligible. We have also local organizations like Cohocton Sons of American Legion and the Canasarega Lions Club help communities afford their medical alert devices, either covering it in full or paying a large portion. Our mobile button runs on average without the reduced rates, $44 a month. And then our landline option runs at about $33 a month.
Oh, so you still do landlines?
We offer them because quite a lot of people still have them. It's just everybody really prefers the mobile. So that's usually what we give.
Yeah, less fussy and stuff. So I'm seeing here on my checklist, there are special things. Well, let's back up. You have button features on these devices. You want to tell us what those are?
Button features.
Well, I wouldn't have asked. I thought you knew. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to embarrass you.
That's fine. I guess with our smartwatch, it can count your steps. You can tell you the weather. You can get text messages. And you have what's called a family circle. And it can tell the family any information that they need to know. Like if you have a doctor's appointment coming up, they get informed about it from your calendar.
All right. So the bottom line here is a lot of features and a lot of flexibility. Yeah. It's got this thing is a lot more capable than the old box that you used to have. It was about half the size of a shoe box, and you hit the big yellow paddle on it, and it called out to get you help. So you got a golf tournament coming up you want to tell us about?
Oh, yes. Also, I just realized I didn't say the buttons are waterproof and that they are pacemaker friendly. I think that's that's probably what it should have been.
All right. Kayla's a good she's a good sport here. Kayla Howe is with URMC Noyes Hospital in Dansville and Geneseo. So let's talk about some other things here. By the way, before we get off of the medical alert program, what's the contact information if people are interested? They want to take advantage of the free installation during May, folks. So act quickly to avoid disappointment. Give them the contact info.
It is 585-335-4359, and we're available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. until 4 p.m.
Okay, so now Noyes wants me to ask you about special promotions you've got coming up. You got a golf tournament, I mentioned.
Yep, we have a golf tournament for the Coactin Sons of American Legion. It's in August. They don't have a set date yet, but the proceeds from the tournament go directly to our program, and it supports the subscribers so that they get their equipment for free.
All right.
On September 20th at the Dansville Foursquare Church, the 9th annual Livingston County Fall Prevention event will take place. This helps participants connect with local resources, like our panel of experts, Dr. Megan Walters. She's a geriatrician. She'll be there to talk about causes for falls, preventing falls, and how to be honest with your doctor.
Yeah, that sometimes that's hard to do because you might get lectured. And I see something here on the Canis Auriga Lions.
Yep, they have concluded all of their fundraising events for the year, but they do have future euchre tournaments coming. And they also wanted me to mention that if anyone's interested, they are looking for new members, and just to call us if you're interested.
Good organization. Yeah, a lot of fun to belong to that. Jay?
I was just going to say, it's a perfect Mother's Day present.
Oh, great idea.
Any kind of present, but it's, you know, I saw a woman at the bank, and she had her walker, and she fell, and she was alone, and she had the phone near her. So she wouldn't need the phone. You'd be at the button.
Mm-hmm. She wouldn't have to reach for it or crawl for it or hope that it's in her purse, and it's actually at home.
Okay. Any of our co-hosts here, any more questions?
So is this same type of program available through other U of R other than Noyes? Like, you know, for the Rochester area, is there a similar program are you aware of? Or?
I don't know if they have one. It's not in affiliation with us. We do go out that far. They might have their own program, but I think theirs is contracted. So it wouldn't be month to month.
Okay. So this is basically the offspring of the old Lifeline Ears program that Noyes. It was there like 20, 25 years ago. All right, Kayla, I'll give you the last word. Anything else you want to tell us about during your monthly visit for UR Noyes?
No, but I appreciate you guys having me and being patient with me.
No problem. You did a great job, Kayla. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Say hi to everybody for me. Appreciate that. Kayla Howe, a facilitator of the Medical Alert Program at Noyes Hospital. And like Jay said, boy, what a great Mom's Day idea. All right. More to come on Health Talk on the WISL stations, 92.1 FM, 95.5 FM West, AM 1040, now 27,000 watts.
If you suffer from headaches, if you're tired of putting your life on hold, popping pills for headaches that just keep coming back, listen closely. Did you ever think this could be related to your bite? It's called TMJ. and Drs. Pogel and Sussman at the Center for Cosmetic Dentistry can help. TMJ can cause everything from head and neck pain to ear congestion. If this sounds like you, call the Center for Cosmetic Dentistry at 22SMILE. Put an end to the pain. See the Center for Cosmetic Dentistry today.
If you are dealing with chronic pain, Dr. Chirag Patel is now available in the Southern Tier. Serving Noyes, Jones, and St. James Hospitals, Dr. Patel is an experienced pain management specialist. He offers steroid injections and many other procedures and has a special interest in the lumbar and cervical spine. Don't let chronic pain impact your quality of life. Ask your doctor for a referral or call 585-243-0150.
Tutti e piedi sono belle. That means all feet are beautiful. Andreas Foot Care makes house calls with advanced foot care services to reveal the beauty of your feet. Call 585-381-4297. Yes, we make house calls, so call 585-381-4297. Our website is andreasfootcare.com.
The Livingston County Department of Health needs volunteers for the Medical Reserve Corps. If you're an active or retired licensed healthcare professional or just a community member who wants to help, we need you. Put your skill and energy to work improving emergency response. Free education and training provided. Work with peers in critical settings. Make a difference in your community. Google the Livingston County Department of Health and email us, including MRC in the subject line, or call 243-7524.
Pod Computers, 1515 Monroe Avenue. Save more, get more at Pod Computers. Prompt on-site service for local businesses. Pod can upgrade your old slow PC better than new. Pod Computers, 244-2240. PodComputers.com.
Health Talk on WYSL AM 1040, FM 92.1 and FM 95.5 West.
Thank you for joining us for our monthly program, Health Talk, here on the WYSL stations, also WYSL1040.com. Bob Savage along with Jay Savage, Dr. Paul Sussman from the Center for Cosmetic Dentistry, and we also have Andrea May from Andrea May's Foot Care. Next up, we have a lady who describes herself as a podcaster, journalist, publicist, musician, award-winning realtor, mom, wife, and child of God. And boy, has she seen it all. Sherry Guess, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here today.
And you have the adult audio hookup, so that your son are really good, so we appreciate that. So you've had a long row to hoe here. I don't quite know where to start. Why don't you do it for me?
Oh, well, me neither. I've had about 10 years of severe health challenges, from formerly healthy, active, thin, all the things, and went to fully bedridden for many years, 35 specialists and every system in my body shutting down due to what turned out to be a type 4 delayed hypersensitivity systemic reaction to metal hardware.
Metal hardware. Okay, so this like jewelry that you wear.
So it started with jewelry. I mean, who doesn't have that little annoying earring thing, you know, cheap jewelry or a watch band? We get a rash with our ring and you don't think anything of it growing up because it's certainly very common. I didn't think anything of it. But come to find out, after a litany of surgeries due to a medical condition that I wasn't even aware I had a bunch of metal hardware implanted, and that allergy bucket, so to speak, rapidly filled up with an allergy to nickel.
Started to spill over. Okay. Andrea May, now you've had your own experiences with this.
Yes. I was diagnosed with systemic nickel allergy in January, I believe. I had some horrible symptoms and found out that it was nickel gold cobalt allergies. And I've been on a low nickel diet for only 2 months now. I've been detoxing. I need to detox for about 13 months. To get my nickel bucket empty so that I don't have the horrific flare-ups that I have. But this is nothing compared to what Sherry has gone through because of all her surgeries and metal implants.
All right, give us a kind of a... Oh, I'm sorry, wait a minute. I'm being waved at by Jay. Go ahead.
No, I did have the privilege of watching some of your podcasts, and it seems like so you had cervical fusion, tennis elbow, thyroid removal, uterus removal, lumbar fusion, bicep, gallbladder, SDI joint, left and right. It's just incredible. And they refer to yourself as the unicorn because other people were not having side effects and experiences after this. And I just wondered how you were maintained to be an advocate for yourself through all this.
Well, you know, it's hard. I was hoping to go into medical school when I got sick, and that quickly got waylaid by the injuries. But I had to just become my own expert, and I have a very scientific mind and was able to quickly start lining out the symptoms and figure out what was going on. This was we think I have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which caused a lot of hypermobility, which led to all the fusions. So I've had an ungodly amount of surgery. I think we're at 40 now, but 7 of those were to remove metal hardware, from the little bitty staple size metal to the big lumbar fusion hardware. And every single thing got me better, and to the point I'm almost completely well today.
So these are not benign things that go into your body. You know, like when, like I'm the proud owner of 4 cardiac stents. I haven't had any adverse reaction to it. But I guess if you have enough of this, like you say, your bucket fills up and it starts to spill over. And I assume that these metals that are in our environment, which are introduced to our bodies either deliberately or incidentally or accidentally, they're pretty common, right?
They're pretty common. And the thing is that so many doctors and medical providers aren't taught systemic metal allergies in school, nor are they taught that nickel in the diet is a thing. And it really is a thing. And so it's not that it's that rare. It's underreported. Just to give you a quick high-level overview, there's 333 million people in the U.S., 20% are allergic to nickel, which is 66 million. And of that, 3% that's reported are systemically allergic. That's 2 million in the U.S. alone. So this is a massive problem that's on nobody's radar.
Sherry Guess is with us. She's a podcaster and journalist and a wife and mom. And she's had this lifelong experience with metals. How common, I mean, you say that people get this in their diet. How does that happen? I mean, people don't, you know, knowingly ingest nickel.
Right. And I didn't even knowingly ingest nickel. And I didn't learn till halfway through my own recovery that there was nickel in the diet. And it's typically like a lot on the paleo diet. It comes from the soil and then the uptake of the plant-based diet. And a lot of people are on plant-based anti-inflammatory diets. And if you're a nickel-sensitive person, all those things that they tell you are healthy, the nuts, the seeds, the leafy green vegetables, the gluten-free grains, the beans, will light you up like a Christmas tree.
That's
amazing.
If
you're not allergic to nickel, no problem.
I've heard of some sensitivity to this stuff, but I didn't know that it was ubiquitous. Andrea?
Yes, I was right there on the anti-inflammatory diet. I was doing the good thing. I was having greens. I was having the greens powders and drinks, kale. I went to almond flour because I have gluten. What else? Avocado, spinach, green beans. And those were filling my nickel bucket. They're all
high in
nickel. That's the
good stuff. That's what you're supposed to eat.
I know, and I did. They're all high nickel. Low nickel would be meats and dairy. So you really have to be very careful. My question, Sherry, and
there it is, folks. Load up with cholesterol. That's
well, and let me throw something else in the mix here, is that it's very difficult to spot if you're not looking for it, because it's a delayed hypersensitivity reaction, which means the symptoms show up 4 to 6 hours later or the next day. It's not like you can eat a handful of nuts and react in 5 minutes.
Okay. We have an actual medical practitioner in the studio here, too. I'd kind of like to have Dr. Paul Sussman weigh in.
So I'm a dentist, so I've had some patients with metal allergies. So I'm just curious, did you have any dental? You mentioned dental hardware. Was it from, like, amalgam fillings, or was it dental implants, or, you know?
So we're talking allergy instead of toxicity. I think you'll hear more about amalgams with toxicity. And that certainly can be a thing for many people. And you add that toxicity on top of allergy. It's a bigger animal. But I can tell you personally, from a dental perspective, I rejected a zirconia dental implant due to trace metals in the metal-free implant, according to a journal article and the manufacturer. So it depends how full the bucket is.
Right. That makes sense.
Okay. So what happened with you when you suddenly started to become aware, the bells of awareness started to ring, and you started to – what were the symptoms that you were getting?
Well, at the height of it, at the end, when my nickel bucket was overflowing, I had had a surgery that implanted metal in my pelvis. It was just a teeny bit, but it overflowed the bucket. And the symptoms were that I put on jewelry I'd worn for 20 years. I broke out the second I put it on in a nasty rash. I immediately tested metal in my mouth, and I was able to make a connection with the fact that it was a histamine issue. High pollenase, high histamine foods made all my pain and symptoms worse. And the only thing that had changed was the addition of more metal. And when I tasted the metal in my mouth and couldn't wear the jewelry, I'm like, this is a metal problem. Metal connects to histamine, connects to pain, and it was the great epiphany.
So what do you do about it?
So I went and had a doctor, thank God, who believed me. He took out 10 of 13 pieces of lumbar fusion hardware, and my blood histamine on my lab work went from off the charts to below normal within 3 weeks. When I woke up in the OR, 60% of my chronic pain in my legs was gone. I could immediately eat high histamine foods again. I could immediately wear jewelry again. And it just continued from there. 7 more surgeries to remove hardware, some as small as staples from a gallbladder surgery. And within 4 to 6 months, if it wasn't immediate, I just kept tracking better. And I came from not being able to walk 5 feet fully bedridden to almost fully healed.
Well, that's great, but I'm just kind of curious about how this got done, because presumably this hardware was in your body for a reason. And how did you keep yourself from like falling apart into a pile of pieces?
So in the U.S., it's not widely discussed with doctors, but a lot of times once you have hardware, like in a lumbar fusion, and the bone heals, you can remove the external hardware, like the external to the spine, not the internal disc. You have a shoulder repair, you can remove the anchor clip once the bone and tendon heals. Gallbladder surgery, once it scars over, you can take out those clips. Same with like tubal ligation clips. And, you know, it's been 7 surgeries to remove metal. And thankfully, I've had surgeons that were willing, because I can't tell you how many people have surgeons that don't.
Yeah, that's the great fear, I think, particularly for a lot of women who go to medical practitioners. They're afraid of sounding stupid, and you know, they feel dumb, but they know how they feel, and so you've got this conflict going on.
Well, and the gaslighting is real, because if you can't look to your medical professional, who's looking to the rep, who hasn't learned about type 4 systemic metal hypersensitivity in school, and they don't have time for all the continuing education. Not that they're bad doctors. It's just we're all busy.
Having a
fascinating. What do you do?
I'm sorry. Fascinating conversation with Sherry Guess here on Health Talk on WYSL Avon Rochester, W221CL Rochester, and W238DE Spencerport, New York. Jay.
And Andre and I were texting back and forth how amazing you are. And God bless you for keep going back and going. I'm looking for something. You didn't feel right, and you trusted yourself, especially when you went to all these different experts. You went to a nickel expert, and she's like, you're fine, you're fine. But the same people, if you actually gave them a nickel to swallow, they'd be like, oh, don't do that. You shouldn't be swallowing nickels.
Well, I don't think nickels are nickel. I don't know. That's a good question. That's one I don't know. But yeah, she was board certified in allergy, immunology, and rheumatology, and told me that I didn't have a problem. And if I would have listened to her, I would have died.
Sherry. I'm sorry. Andrea. We were just that was Sherry you just heard.
Well, my situation is a little similar. My GP does not believe me that this is my problem. He kind of said I was a little crazier. So I'm doing things on my own, and I'm looking for support groups, and that's where I found you, Sherry, thank God. So what you're really advocating right now. You're really pushing about testing becoming a requirement before someone has implant surgery or staples or any kind of metal put in their body. Can you talk about that a little?
Well, testing is important, but I would go back even a second before that. Screening for metal hypersensitivity at the level of the medical provider, the office, the hospital is equally important. It's a question on the questionnaire. Have you ever had a metal hypersensitivity? And then what do you do with that? Well, then you take a pause, a step back, and you either get patch testing, blood metal lymphocyte transformation testing, which is clinically validated but not FDA approved at this point. It needs to be, if you ask my opinion. But this is what confirms the type 4 delayed hypersensitivity reaction, because they test the exposure of the blood to the metals over days in the lab and watch the cell proliferation happen to give the diagnosis. Patch testing isn't. It's an external reaction that measures. It's terrible at detecting titanium allergies, which are becoming more common, but it doesn't really, it's not a good indicator of what's going on internally within the body. And because these reactions are delayed, a lot of times with surgery, it's 4 to 6 months before the symptoms show up, because it's T-cell mediated and antigen driven. So it's a totally different mechanism. Then you touch something and react to it.
Fascinating.
So testing is important.
Fascinating story from Sherry Guess here on Health Talk, talking about her battle with mental sensitivity. And while you were battling all this stuff and figuring out all the answers, among your souvenirs, you also started having autoimmune problems, including Lyme disease. Tell us about that.
Well, because of the type 4 delayed hypersensitivity and the mechanism of this allergy, it basically flares up the immune system. The armies of the immune system, to keep it simple, are so inflamed going after the metal and trying to attack that it compromises the immune system, leaving you susceptible to chronic infections, chronic viruses, autoimmune processes. And so literally one leads to another, leads to another. So there's probably a ton of people with metal allergies of the type 4 type running around with Lyme disease and chronic Epstein-Barr, long COVID. Autoimmune thyroid disease is very common with metal hypersensitivity. So, yeah, it's a whole clinical picture.
And I see in your notes here you went through a process called brain retraining.
Oh, so important. You know, our brains are so powerful that there's really something to that placebo effect. And if you speak health and wellness to your body, it can heal DNA. There's a lot of science behind it. And it was probably 50% of the other part of my journey. 50% is doing the things, 50% is fixing the brain.
So what reaction have you got from the medical community on all of this, Sherry? Has the gaslighting stopped? Are we on the growth, the learning curve now?
We're on the learning curve, but we are very, very early on. A lot of doctors think they know it all. A lot of doctors that don't think they know it all don't have time to learn it all. The gaslighting is very, very real. Patients are very hysterical and reactive without a lot of facts sometimes, and that doesn't help. So we are just at the early stages of changing the medical narrative on metal hypersensitivity. And I get gaslighting, and it's interesting because there are surgeons famous for lecturing surgeons and medical providers on metal allergies, and they get gaslit themselves, and they are credentialed professionals. It's
Jay?
There. You just got to look for it.
So Andre and I were talking about this. I don't know if the vaccines, I know there's aluminum in vaccines, but I don't know if that's in any issue at all.
Well, I think it all adds to the metal burden in the body, right? It's if the immune system is jacked up from whatever it is, anything can contribute, any virus, any metal. And people that are allergic to metal and sensitive are cross-reactive. Another one is gadolinium. The MRI contrast is a metal agent. So we've got aluminum, mercury, gadolinium. I mean, it's all a picture. And just because, I will bring up, just because you test positive on a patch test or a lymphocyte transformation test to a metal, or don't test positive, when you have the metal implanted, you can become reactive to an alloy that you weren't previously reactive to based on exposure. So it's a moving target.
So Sherry, as long as we're at it, let's whack the hornet's nest known as vaccines. Do you want to weigh in on that hot topic?
Can I plead the fifth? I can just No, I can just say that I choose not to partake. I have had enough metal reactivity in my life, and my immune system is hyper-reactive enough. I'm more a fan of natural immunity, and I will just leave it at that.
All right, fair enough. Anything else you want to add here before we wrap up this segment?
Well, I just want to thank you for being willing to talk publicly and air an episode on this, because I am screaming at the top of my lungs. And please join me if you've had exposures or sensitivities. Come join the heavily metaled community and tell the world we're not going to take it anymore, because it needs to be as big as gluten.
You got a contact or some resources for listeners? Because I'm sure that a lot of people are very interested having heard this segment.
Absolutely. Heavilymetaled.com. Metaled is with two L's. I'm also on social media, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, at Heavily Metaled. And come on over.
And you, irony of ironies. get it? You've had in your background management and publicity for heavy metal bands.
Yeah. I used to work with all the 80s hair metal bands on the Sunset Strip, where the girls were girls and the boys were too.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
And she's a barrel racer. She was a barrel racer.
Barrel racer,
yeah,
too.
Once upon a time.
Wow.
Yeah, once upon a time.
I'm telling you.
A little bit
you.
Country, a little bit rock and roll.
Excellent. Sherry Guest, thanks so much for being with us. Fascinating information and valuable information, too. We'll have to have you back on the program again.
Thank you. Be happy to.
All right. Sherry Guest on the WYSL stations. We're going to take a quick break here and come back and talk about dance therapy and helping kids get over the adverse effects of COVID and being locked down. Seems like it was just yesterday, but that was like 3 years ago. Amazing, isn't it? Health Talk on the WYSL stations. Don't go away.
I'm just a warming on the face of this earth.
At the Center for Cosmetic Dentistry, we know the best thing you'll ever wear is your smile.
Now you can smile again. Have a beautiful smile again.
From whitening and porcelain veneers to invisible braces, look your best with the Center for Cosmetic Dentistry. And with Sedation Dentistry, you don't have to be afraid.
Change your life. Change your smile.
The Center for Cosmetic Dentistry. Call 22-SMILE.
Tutti a piede sono belle. That means all feet are beautiful. Andrea's Foot Care makes house calls with advanced foot care services to reveal the beauty of your feet. Call 585-381-4297. Yes, we make house calls, so call 585-381-4297. Our website is andreasfootcare.com.
If you are dealing with chronic pain, Dr. Chirag Patel is now available in the Southern Tier. Serving Noyes, Jones, and St. James Hospitals, Dr. Patel is an experienced pain management specialist. He offers steroid injections and many other procedures and has a special interest in the lumbar and cervical spine. Don't let chronic pain impact your quality of life. Ask your doctor for a referral or call 585-243-0150.
Exposure to lead can cause serious health problems in young children and pregnant women. It can slow a child's growth and cause behavior, learning, hearing, and speech problems. Most have no symptoms when exposed to lead. Lead poisoning is 100% preventable, and testing for exposure to lead is easy. Livingston County Department of Health encourages you to call your children's health care provider to get screened or contact the health department at 585-243-7299. Lead testing at ages 1 and 2. It's the thing to do.
Pod Computers, 1515 Monroe Avenue. Save more, get more at Pod Computers. Prompt on-site service for local businesses. Pod can upgrade your old slow PC better than new. Pod Computers, 244-2240. PodComputers.com.
Health Talk on WYSL AM 1040, FM 92.1, and FM 95.5 West.
We are back in here on Health Talk on the WYSL stations. Thanks so much for joining us, Bob Savage, Andrea May, Jay Savage, and Dr. Paul Sussman. Up next, using dance to heal and reverse the devastating impact of COVID on children. We're going to talk with the teacher, Terrell. She's founder of Once Upon a Dance Studio and author of a series of interactive dance education books. Teacher, thanks for being on the show with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. So, Andrea, I don't know where to start with this whole thing, and so I'm going to toss it to you.
Well, teacher, welcome. And dance really is fundamental to humans, as it's part of every single culture that's out there. So can you help us? What is your definition of dance? And specifically, what's your definition of dance as medicine?
So I think dance is any movement, especially if it has some different patterns and you're adding music on top of that. I like to talk about the four dimensions of dance: the music, the body, the brain, and the social. So that's an important part, I think, post-COVID. And yeah, you're right. Like, dance is in every culture, as you mentioned, and it goes back 9,000 years, and it's in our DNA, and we all love to move and, you know, are meant to move. And, yeah, there's just tons and tons of dance out there. So I love to encourage people to find the one that resonates with them, from, you know, ballroom and ballet and hip-hop and lyrical and jazz and Irish and flamenco and on and on.
Do you teach all of those genres of dance, teacher?
You know, I have taught a lot of dance. 4 years ago, you know, something changed. And so I have been making dance books and trying to get them dance out to more people in that way. So I have not taught for 4 years.
Oh, okay. And so what, you've been writing these books then for the last 4 years?
I have, yes. We have a couple series, and a lot of them are kind of one-act plays that kids can do with their reader and get a lot of movement in and learn about emotion. And there's some breath work and connection opportunities as well, and they're just really fun.
Jay?
Okay, so full disclosure. So sometimes at midnight or whatever, my husband will come out, and it's kind of dark in the room, and I have headphones on.
I sleep, I go to bed very early because I have to get up at 3 a.m. And so sometimes I'll get up in the middle of the night, and Jay's out in the kitchen dancing with headphones on.
Nice. Yes. I love that.
So I have my phone, and I'm trying to be quiet. I'm doing these dance moves in the kitchen, and the apartment's very small, mind you. So maybe I did wake him up. But lots of times, you know, I feel taxed and I'm upset. And he just looks at me now. He's like, oh, okay, she's doing her thing. But it is that cleansing and the release of endorphins and just the movement of your body. Like when you're in the hospital, they want you to get up and move. They want you to get those bodies, get your body going, the kinetic energy.
Yeah, definitely. I've done the same thing. I did a lot of grief dancing, you know, one summer with my headphones in and trying to be quiet, but not like one year. Yeah, it's a great release for stress, and you know, there are so many benefits to dance, and I could be here all day talking about them. But just the neural pathways that we get, and you know, that emotional release that you were mentioning, and we have stronger bones and heart and lung muscles, and we improve our balance and coordination and posture and spatial awareness, and we're less likely to get injured the more that we, you know, practice moving and shifting our weight and things like that. So yeah, definitely wherever you need to dance, even in your kitchen, in your small little kitchen. And I did a lot of that when I was little. I would dance in a very, very small space and push the furniture, you know, the table out of the way and dance in my dining room.
Teacher Terrell with us. Dance as medicine is the topic. Talk a little bit, if you would, teacher, about why this is so vital for kids.
Yeah, a lot of kids are still, you know, they're still isolating socially post-COVID. And I'm in Washington, and we were locked down, you know, first and kind of the longest, I think, of anywhere in the world, really. And, you know, we all got in this habit of just not connecting, of staying home and sitting on the couch, and I mean, kids and adults as well. I know, you know, my whole family struggles with that. I struggle with that. And I'm, I was always a pretty active person. So dance is really special because it is physical exercise, which we know is good for you, but it also has the social component, but it's not competitive. So it's a really lovely way to get together and share space and take turns and, you know, support each other and smile at each other, but, you know, there's not, like, social small talk that's awkward. So it's a really nice way to kind of get your social connections in without a lot of stress. And if you can get in the habit of it and feel those endorphins, and then you can, you know, keep going, and then you can overcome, because it is a little hard. So if you can overcome and learn things, you see that you're progressing and that you're making progress, and that builds a lot of confidence. And dance is good for any age. Like, they've done studies, you know, I look at these things as they've come, like, they come across the news, and they've done studies just on every age, and it's good for everybody. So for adults, you know, we're reversing mental decline, and it's very significant and it's data-driven. And, you know, and kids, they're having all kinds of positive effects. And even infants and, you know, toddlers moving are creating a lot of good things in that way.
Andrew May.
Teacher, how do your dance books help with the healing process?
So we have a book coming out next. It's called Ready, Set, Dance, and it's just kind of a book just to give kids a little bit of a taste of what a dance class might look like so that they are less afraid and more willing to maybe try it and just feel a little bit more confident that first day moving in. And my hope is that kids will, you know, embrace the book and embrace our Dance It Out series, which are those one-act plays I was talking about. That's the bulk of what we have. And just get the love of dance and the joy and kind of seeing how fun it is to do these things and go into dance class. And I know some people have told me that their kids, secondhand actually, but that their kids tried dance class because of our books, because they had read them at home and then were like, oh, the, you know, the child's really interested in movement in this way. And so my hope is just to, like, expose kids to that movement, you know, and even if they don't end up doing a dance class, they're still getting that movement, that breath, that connection, and learning about emotions and, you know, just all the goodness and imagination and joy. So even standalone, I think they're really a beautiful thing. And I wish I'd had them for my family when my kids were growing up. I know that we would have loved them. I know I would have loved them when I was a little girl. And they were always the kids' favorite part. When I taught dance, I would do stories. So a lot of the stories that I've written down are things I did in my dance classes that we had fun with.
Okay, so we didn't have time to get one of your books. We couldn't find them available. I saw some of the illustrations. They're absolutely gorgeous. So could you be very specific with us? So I'm going to buy the book for my kid, and I'm going to sit down and read the book. You say it's interactive. So can you describe what it is the parents and the child are going through as they read your book? That how does it work? How we don't have the stories in front of us. How are they interactive to get everybody dancing?
Sure, yeah, and the illustrations are beautiful. We have a lot of different illustrators from all over the world that have done these books for us. And I wanted that series to all have different illustrators when I started, but I liked people too much, so I went back again. But so I'll just maybe go through one real quick, if that's okay. So, like, Princess Naomi Helps a Unicorn, a lot of the books that we have actually have non-pronouned characters. So they can be a boy or a girl. That one in particular has two sisters. So Princess Naomi is very angry with her sister, and she slams the door, and we feel like what it feels like to be, you know, slamming, and we feel like the rocks and the castle, and we make the shape, and grown-ups could even pick their children up if they wanted. There's some, like, opportunities there if you watch for them. But anyway, she gets on her horse, and her horse is very quirky, and it can gallop forward, and it can gallop back and turn around, and it goes out flying across the countryside and finds a unicorn, and the unicorn, you know, skipping forward, the unicorn needs help to rescue baby. And when they arrive at a cave where the baby is stuck, the person goes in. So you're actually acting out the story along with the characters. And then my daughter, we call Ballerina Kenora, is there as a movement mentor and gives you some ideas for movement with photographs and instructions. So anyway, you go into the cave and you swing like an elephant because the ceiling is low, and then you have to go down lower and lower and lower, and then you find the baby, but you have to leap over a snake and rescue the baby, and you backtrack and think about the sequencing of that, and you know, and then you deliver baby to mama, and everyone lives happily ever after.
Yeah, a lot of opportunity for movement there, Dr. Paul Sussman.
So that was the very condensed version, but just to give you an idea.
So these days, when kids are so involved with their, you know, tablets and phones, and do you have any programs that are, like, addresses social media or, you know, that kids will look at and, you know, help them to want to start moving? And
so we do have a couple videos, and we have audio stories as well. And the audio stories are beautifully produced with sounds and music and things like that. And then we also have a YouTube channel that has a couple videos, and we'll be adding more to that. So there is that option as well.
Okay, Jay Savage.
Just circling back, I just loved your, you know, it was a quick brief of the book, but I felt that it was a dance. So you really are giving them a dance to share, the reader.
They vary. So that one is kind of the middle of the road as far as dance goes. So some of them are, I started with the things that I had done in dance class. And then we really wanted to make things that teachers would enjoy in the classroom. So a lot of them do have more accessible movement where there's no dance per se, but you're stretching or you're climbing a ladder or you're taking a big breath and blowing out a candle or, you know, you're spinning around or you're standing on one foot. So it depends on the book, and it really spans ages 3 up to 9, and it goes all the way from just a very fun, you know, you're maybe rolling on the floor and you're climbing and you're doing different things all the way up to some really pretty heavy ballet. And so I really encourage people to always look at the, we have a whole website actually just for this series, just so that people can really get a sense of what book would be the best fit for their kiddo. And that's creativemovementstories.com.
Jay?
No, that's what I was going to say. It's movement. That's all the things you described. Just move in the way you want to move. You're offering opportunities and you're giving visual cues to create that for people. That's wonderful.
So these books,
thank you.
Yeah, these books are interactively, and they're available, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, the usual outlets?
Anywhere books are sold online, and you should be able to get them. Yeah, Amazon and all the places.
I think I heard in there you were giving us an online resource, too.
At onceuponadance.com or dancestories.com is my website.
Okay, and that's not just limited to the books. You've got other materials there as well, right?
I've got a lot of resources for families, some different ideas for ways to, you know, play together at home and in a dance-like way, and a lot of different products and different resources. And there's a STEM guide for teachers, and there's what else? The videos are off of there. Yeah, there's just a ton of information related to dance.
Sounds like a rich trove of information. Teacher Terrell, her name is actually Teacher, folks. We thank you very much for sharing all this. It's sounds like a great resource.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, thanks. And it's time for us to wrap up the program for this month. We have Dr. Paul Sussman in studio, and Paul, it's shameless plug time. Tell us about your practice.
The Center for Cosmetic Dentistry in Greece off of Ridge Road, Buckman Road, all areas of dentistry. We do a lot of dental implants, full reconstructions, smile makeovers. We love new patients, 22-SMILE. Our phone number, centerforcosmeticdentist.com.
Andrea Mays, Foot Care.
Yes, if anyone has any questions about foot care, they can give me a call. And if anybody thinks they have nickel or metal allergies, please call me. I'd be happy to chat with you and share my experiences as well. 585-381-4297.
And that's it for this month. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate you enjoying the program. Get the podcast at WYSL1040.com. And we'll see you for the next Health Talk on WYSL.